Welcome to Feminist Frequency Radio. I am your host, Anita Sarkeesian, and I am joined by
Carolyn Pettit
and
Ebony Aster.
We are the show that asks you to be critical of the media you love. Alternatively, we are the feminist killjoys that are coming for your media, depending on your perspective on things. On today's show, we are going to tell you a little bit about this new podcast. We're going to dive into some pop culture, and we're going to preview one of our new regular segments. Are you ready for this? It is called Hate Mail Hootenanny.
Yeehaw!
Hey, guess what?
What?
We have a brand new show.
Yeah, we do, but I don't know anything about it, Anita. Can you tell me what this new show of ours is all about?
I sure can.
Fantastic.
Every week, we are going to get together and talk about games and movies and TV shows. And really, we have all of these conversations in the office all the time, right? And
so I'm not in the office.
Well, we have them over Slack. But we have these conversations all the time, and we really wanted the opportunity to maybe let our viewers and our listeners join in on the banter that we have around these big issues, right? Like, there's lots of big pop culture moments. There's lots of thoughts that we have that don't fit into a video or don't fit into an article, and this gives us a little more space to dig into that.
Yeah, exactly. And while there's so much overlap in terms of the issues that you and Ebony and I care about in terms of just social justice, we also have a lot of very different interests and different kind of things that we get like really excited about. And I think that that makes our perspectives and our conversations that much more interesting because we all bring kind of very different things, very different experiences, backgrounds, and different kinds of passion to our work here at Feminist Frequency.
Yeah, absolutely. And I'm actually really excited that Ebony is joining us on this podcast because I cannot get her to be on camera ever.
That's so being on camera, not for me. Being on the radio, being on a podcast, this is my milieu. This is where I was meant to be. My friendly voice coming out over the airwaves, soothing people to sleep at night.
I gotta say, Ebony is literally one of the funniest people I've ever met. And
Set me up that way. Don't set me up. That's too much pressure.
I'm totally doing it. And so I'm so excited that you all get to experience the ridiculousness and the humor that we get.
Don't set me up that
day.
Way either. You're prejudicing people.
Too
you're either
late.
Setting me
I
up to
it.
Be funny or, listen, oh my gosh.
You can't not be funny, though. It's like in your
blood. I'm going to do my best.
Yeah,
I'm
going to
Charles Carrolt this shit.
In addition to showcasing Ebony's new stand-up routine every week, we're hoping to bring in guests to join our panel and our discussions, showcase the work that other amazing people are doing out in the world, and also bring in other perspectives to talk about the things that we like and don't like. And you know.
I mean, I don't think we can name any names yet, but we definitely have some great, very exciting friends of Feminist Frequency that we're already really looking forward to having join us on the show.
Absolutely. We'll have recurring segments. We don't know what those will be yet, but they'll be good.
We have some ideas.
I promise.
We have some ideas.
We do have some ideas.
Yeah.
So one of the exciting things about starting a new show is the ability to see how it goes. And really, we want this to be more of a community around Feminist Frequency. Right. We want you to be a part of this experience. Yeah. And so getting your feedback and the things that you want us to talk about
exactly.
and your questions.
Like, that's something that's been missing for you know, out of necessity for so long from Feminist Frequency's work. You know, it's been really sad for us, I think, to just be in a situation where we have to shut down comments on the YouTube videos and where Twitter is almost impossible to have any kind of actual interaction, positive interaction with people. So having a format, a place in which we can actually like respond to some of what you want to hear us talk about, respond to some of your questions, your input is, you know, really exciting for me.
Yeah, me too.
Not so much for me. I want to make it clear from the get go that I'm going to be the one non-responsive member.
Yeah,
that
the
is
team.
A lie.
I've seen you on
Twitter.
I have very strong opinions about things, and I'm actively avoiding growing as a person.
Whatever.
So
just at Ebony Aster, y'all.
At Ebony Aster. I'm happy to hear what you have to say, but just know that I'm not taking any of it on board.
All right.
So I want to give our listeners an opportunity to get a little sense of the kinds of things that we're going to be talking about on this podcast. And one example is Ebony is a huge Doctor Who fan.
Yes.
What are you excited about in the Doctor Who universe?
The Doctor Who Christmas show, which is an annual tradition in my home and so many homes around the globe. Basically, Christmas doesn't come for me until I see the Doctor Who episode. And this year, it's going to be especially exciting. Well, heartbreaking, too, because it's going to be our last chance to see Peter Capaldi, who's been just amazing. Amazing as
all right,
the Doctor.
All right. I got to say something.
Whatever you're going to say, if you have Peter Capaldi shade in the holster,
I had to give up on Doctor
back
Who.
Because I don't want to hear
it. I had to give up on Doctor Who because Stephen Moffat is so terrible in every conceivable way.
Listen,
that like
you,
I didn't.
You get
I
no
literally
argument
didn't
from
watch,
me there. No
yeah,
argument
right?
from me there.
I literally didn't watch any of Stephen Capaldi as the Doctor because I watched as much of the show as I could and I finally stopped and I thought that I would never watch Doctor Who again. But then we got the announcement that there's going to be a female Doctor.
So, Ebony, you probably remember this too. The day that the announcement came out, right?
Yeah.
I posted it in Slack about first the announcement of the Doctor now being a woman and then followed it up with like a thing. Oh, and I said something like, oh, and also Moffat is out. And Anita like responded like, OMG, I can start watching Doctor Who again. Yay. But she hadn't seen the previous post about the Doctor now being a woman.
Yes.
And then so I said like something she, and you were like, who, what are you talking about? And I'm like, the Doctor. And your head just like exploded in Slack. It was just like, it was beautiful.
I definitely lost my shit that day.
Listen, I have been a hardcore Doctor Who fan from back in the day. I'm roughly 87 years old, so I've seen all the Doctors, right? And so when Doctor Who came back to our screens, you know, when Christopher Eccleston brought it back in a phenomenal way.
With his leather jacket. Under
Russell T. Davies. I didn't know what I was going to think. Immediately loved it, and I've been in. And yeah, there's been some incredibly, incredibly rough going. And I'm not going to lie, there have been even some episodes, you know, starring Peter Capaldi that I gave such massive side eye to. I didn't think I'd ever get over it. But it's a show, I don't know how to, you know, explain, like, my level of investment in Doctor
Who.
It was
really hard to give up.
There was nothing that they could have done, you know, unless Doctor Who, like, literally pulled, like, a Captain America Hail Hydra. There's nothing they could have done to get me to stop watching that
shit. I gotta say, like, it was a really, really hard fandom to give up. Like, I was really invested. And so it's exciting to... You know, like I'm cautiously excited about being able to come back into this universe and be a part of this fandom again. So, and maybe Carolyn will join us because you're over here on the sidelines being like, what the fuck is Doctor Who?
Yeah, I've never been I've never yet been a Doctor Who person, but certainly I'm super excited about the Doctor being a woman. That may be the thing that really pulls me in. Yes. I mean, the only Doctor Who I've ever seen, in fact, I've never really given it much of a chance, is Blink, which is like the one episode everyone says,
If
you're going to watch just one episode, see that. Mm-hmm. And a Christmas special for some previous year, but which I don't remember. It was
bring you in.
Yeah,
we'll,
yeah. We'll gently, like one step at a time. You need to give me the, you know, the Doctor Who 101. What do I need to know?
Sure.
Yeah,
I'll be happy to provide that service.
You know?
Perfect. Yeah. Well, what are you excited about, Carol?
Well, I mean, you know, this year. So my big thing, as much as I love talking and writing about film, television, you know, all that stuff and talking about it, you know, my big thing is games. Like, that's my background. I came from writing about games and representation in games. You know, some people may know me as the woman who had a petition to fire her from her job because she gave a game a 9.
A game. What game was that?
I don't recall. It was some obscure
game
about it was Male Crime World.
Male Crime
World. Yeah, it was not Flowers to Women.
Yeah.
It was Male Crime
definitely
World.
Definitely not GTA.
No, Male Crime World, for sure.
Yeah.
What's been really exciting to me lately is just how much representation in games has changed in the past few years, right? And I'm not saying we're nowhere near any kind of like representation utopia by any stretch, However, seeing games like, you know, Overwatch, which has such a diverse and really like inclusive cast of characters, seeing this year, you know, like multiple games that feature queer women or queer men in like leading roles, which, you know, was kind of unheard of even 5 years ago. I'm just really excited about that. And I'm really looking forward to bringing those conversations, you know, about what I'm playing to the show each week. Like, I'm really excited about that.
Yeah, totally. This has been an overwhelmingly good year for games.
It's ridiculous. Like, I have never, usually, you know, I mean, in a year, the past few years, I'm like, well, writing and talking about games is kind of my thing, so I'll like force myself to play, you know, this big game and that big game or whatever. This year, it's like, I cannot get through all the games that I want to play, which is a good problem to have, but it's so strange.
It's really strange. Yeah. It's been really nice, though. Like, you know, we have obviously been at, I don't know,
the forefront
of both, like, really trying to push this industry to be better, to be more inclusive, to be more representative of players and of, you know, fandoms that are around games, and also at the forefront of, like, all of the shit you get for doing that work.
Right.
And so actually watching, like, it happened so fast almost, right?
Yeah.
In terms of the fact that change usually happens very, very slowly, that we are seeing these shifts, right? We are seeing this increase in consciousness around representation. Yeah. So, like, you know, granted, depends on what day you catch me, because some days I'm like,
oh yeah,
fuck the games industry, it's a disaster.
Right.
But there are little bits that give me a lot of hope lately, which is more than I could say from 5 years ago.
Yeah, so. like one interesting, like, specific example that I think is so cool is, you know, recently the game Dishonored: Death of the Outside
Death
of the Outsider was released. And, you know, one of the things that people would always say to me on Twitter when I would talk about the need, how important representation is in games and the need for, like, for more inclusive representation. People, detractors, you know, people who just who want to dismiss those ideas outright would always say things like,
they should just make a game about like a black, queer, Muslim woman or whatever.
Yeah.
And, disabled. Yeah. And like Billy Lurk, the protagonist of Dishonored: Death of the Outsider. I mean, she's not Muslim because it doesn't take place in our world with our religions, but she's totally a black, queer, disabled woman. Yep. So it's just like this awesome FU in my mind to all those people. Like, why shouldn't we make a game about these women, about the people like this? Of course we should.
Oh, totally. Yeah. Oh, absolutely. Yeah. I'm really excited about that. So, weird thing, I'm actually really excited for the next Star Wars movie. And the reason that's weird is because I've never really liked Star Wars.
Yeah,
that is weird.
Yeah. You kicked off our review of The Force Awakens by laying it out there, being honest, like, I'm not really a Star Wars fan.
I used to be so afraid to say that because I felt like it was the one fandom that would, like, retract your nerd card to be like, I don't really like Star Wars. And, like, I didn't watch it as a kid. The first time I watched the original
trilogy. Did you grow up with wolves?
Yes. Well, immigrants. So, you know, we didn't really.
Don't throw your parents under the bus like that.
I mean, you know, media
and
was
act like
a weird
it was their fault.
House.
I feel like you, as a child, I bet you did something where they decided not to let you watch Star Wars.
You know what my parents wouldn't let me watch when I was a kid? Two things.
Uh-huh.
One was The Simpsons, which, you know, my mom just didn't get that it was, like, kind of adult humor.
Yeah.
But the other one was totally justified because it was Married with Children.
Oh, yeah.
I support that.
Yeah. I do too.
I mean, as much as I love Katie Sagal,
I've been exposed to that. All that.
I still
that
watched
section,
it though.
Yeah. Okay.
Obviously.
Okay. Right.
Just.
Right.
I technically wasn't allowed.
Yeah.
But so I didn't. You know, like, we didn't. We were not a big media consuming household. Like, I watched a lot of TV growing up, but it was very independent. Like, we didn't go to the movies a ton. Like, it wasn't like my parents grew up watching. You know.
Wait. What do you mean? It was really independent. Yeah. What were you watching? Like, public access?
No, I was on my own. Like, I would basically sit in our basement for, like, an entire summer and go. I would waffle between, like, Lamb Chops Playhouse and Voyager.
She was a self-starter in the television watching field.
Gotcha.
It wasn't like we'd sit around as a family and watch stuff, really. I mean, maybe. I don't know. That's not. Yeah. Anyways. Yeah. So, Star Wars wasn't, like, a lot of my peers went to the theaters and saw them when they were growing up, or their families introduced them to it, or it was, like, it was so ingrained into what they're doing. And I didn't
have
that. Right. So,
but people your generation, Anita, when you say they went to the theaters and saw it, you're talking about the latest trilogy, or rather the middle trilogy.
Oh my god, right? I'm not that young. But no, like, so
you're not talking about like 1977 original Star Wars.
Right,
you're talking about like the Phantom
like
Menace and those things. And I think though, but when you're talking about like being afraid to not like Star Wars, that shitty second trilogy made it safe for people to come out and say, you know what, this is not for me.
But not really, because like even my peer, like I feel like my peers today have memories of Star Wars as a kid. Mm. So whatever leg of the trilogy they joined in on, really got them involved and engaged, and their families were engaged. Like it was I understand that Star Wars was a really big deal in terms of film history, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
So when I watched it as an adult, I was like, the fuck is this? Like, why does everyone love this shit? Like, it's just so like black
amazing.
And white, and it didn't
this is why I
me.
Have to work remotely from Los Angeles, because if we were in the same room together, I would be jumping out a window.
What?
I would
what
be
would
jumping
be?
Out a window, and I would be drumming up a mob in the streets, you know?
But so the thing is, okay, so I, you know, like as someone who tries to be at least relatively aware of pop culture things in life, when it was being rebooted and coming out again, I was like, okay, yeah, I'll see what the deal is. Like, why not? And a lot of my criticisms of the original series still hold, but I am so taken in. Like, I'm just like, I have little Star Wars figurines now. Like, let's be real.
Yeah.
Right. Like, I bought toys.
BB-8 is so adorable.
So cute.
Yeah.
So I'm actually excited. Like, as much as I didn't like Rogue One, I'm part of the hype machine now a little bit, right?
Yeah.
Like, I'm excited to see what they're doing. And the fact that there are more women are like heroes in this world, there are more people of color. Like, there's a consciousness around what is being done that's making me a little more engaged.
Yeah.
And like the storytelling I'm finding engaging.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. And there was actually just a hashtag that was a huge thing on Twitter called it was SW Rep Matters, or Star Wars Representation Matters, and it was just full of so many like heartwarming stories, powerful stories about how much it has meant to people, to kids and even into adults, to see people who look like themselves in the Star Wars universe. So, you know, it's just it's a testament again to just how much representation matters.
Yeah,
like,
and it's why we do this work.
Right,
like, Feminist Frequency really came out of this idea that, like, the media matters, that media has an impact on our lives. And, like, watching stuff like that, like, watching the little girls who get to dress up like Rey and be super excited and get to be a part of this universe in a way that they can look up to and be like, yes, I'm the hero. Like, that's really important.
Exactly.
That's really important.
Yeah, it's a cultural shift. I mean, it's the sort of thing that a lot of young girls didn't have before.
Yeah,
you know?
Sure. All right. One of the recurring segments that we thought could be kind of fun to do on this podcast is to read our hate mail, because we get a little bit of it.
And it's pretty spectacular sometimes.
Yes. Sometimes it's really special. We have a lot of fun with it. So introducing Hate Mail Hootenanny. All right, Ebony, what do you got for us this week?
Okay, this latest one comes in from someone who calls themselves pro-life. The comment is simply, Anita, you're a garbage human being. Enough said.
Wonder where they got that language from.
Right.
It was the juxtaposition of the handle pro-life with Anita, you're a garbage human being, that really stood out to me.
I like to see a little more effort, you know. I like to see a little more muscle from these folks.
Yeah,
so,
they didn't try very hard.
Yeah, well, what else you got?
Well,
that's a little warm up.
If you thought that was a little bit tepid, this next one might be in a too much of a similar vein, because it simply says your group is dumb.
Your group,
and what I love about that is that someone took the time to write in And they were like, this says all I needed to say.
Yeah.
I don't need to clarify. I don't need to give examples.
I don't need to elaborate.
Exactly. Your group is dumb.
Right. Your group is dumb.
All right.
I kind of like the simplicity of that one, I admit.
All right.
Yeah, and it is in...
Caroline gives it a 7 out of 10.
I mean, that's... Wow. That's harsh, Anita. I probably
it's
like
our first week, so...
8.5.
Yeah, we're going to set a high bar. I really think that you guys are going to... love this one. It's in right. stark contrast to the last Your Group is Dumb, because it is much longer and also has absolutely no punctuation. So forgive me if I stumble a bit as
I love it
read this. This is from Prototype Gaming. Excuse me, but you are not thinking right if you think Nintendo is keeping a lot of girls in their games damsels in distress because they are saying girls are supposed to be that way. It's kind of the theme of a lot of games that they made. It wouldn't make sense if you're trying to save an epic warrior princess and they save themselves. That would leave no purpose to the game. So think before you assume things. Why don't you say PewDiePie as a random guy's on the streets by saying they're a rapist? It would do a lot of good for your movement. Don't get me wrong. I'm a normal guy. Respects women. But I don't respect women who run down the streets in vagina costumes and say it's a protest, and I don't respect women who say every man on the earth is a rapist that can rape women without touching them. And most of those women are feminists. So I know you say you want equality, but it sounds more like you want control and want women to basically have less rights. And I don't respect that. I'm a male. You can call me anything you want to call me, but I know what I actually am. I'm a normal man who has a good family. So you're wrong if you accuse me of being a rapist or a control freak who wants women to bow down to men.
Wow. Dude just had an entire conversation with himself.
Oh, he definitely did.
I mean,
he
that
definitely
was
did.
Amazing.
And again, no punctuation. So that
okay.
Went
I don't even know how
so
we
many
tease
places
out like, any of that. There's so he's a normal guy.
Yeah,
clearly,
he's a normal guy. Yeah. And if what like if you made the woman the hero and not the damsel in distress, there would be no purpose to the game.
No, of course.
No purpose
all
to
the
game.
All the games that have no damsels in them are totally purposeless. Right?
Also, he just wants to make it clear he doesn't respect women who run down the street in vagina costumes. First, are you seeing a lot of this? Prototype Gaming.
Woo.
Two, I don't think your respect is what they're going for. I don't think that's the point behind wearing those costumes. And three, again, I have to say, no punctuation whatsoever. Not a comma. Not a capital letter. Nothing.
I assume by vagina costumes he means pussy hats.
I think that's, yeah.
Which I, vagina,
yes.
I really wish more
people
walked around
in vagina. Oh, well, that kind of makes me disappointed because I was like, where does this guy live? I kind of want to, I might want to visit.
Yeah, I kind of really, like, I think more vagina costumes would be kind of cool. Uh-oh. Hey, it's almost Halloween.
Wow,
costume
idea.
I don't actually know where this is going out, but in the orbit of Halloween.
Yeah. I don't know if you want to recommend vagina costumes. This guy does not respect women who run down the streets in them. So,
well, I kind of
FYI.
Don't want this dude's respect, so maybe.
Yeah.
Maybe
he's a normal
video,
man.
The next video we record needs to be in a vagina costume, clearly.
Yeah.
One of the things that is just so amusing to me, for lack of a better word at the moment, is how... usually the harassment we get is responses to the stereotypes of being a feminist,
right,
as opposed to literally anything we've ever actually said in the world.
Right. And we see that kind of here where he's like, don't accuse me of being a rapist or whatever.
Yeah,
like,
what?
What? I mean, like they actually think that we think that all men are rapists or whatever, like whatever kind of caricature of feminism that these people buy into, it's always just so outrageous and so far, you know, it's out of left field. It's it's really surprising. It never fails to like surprise me, the things that people believe about what we believe.
Yeah, it's truly spectacular. So that's our show, or rather our teaser of our show. We hope you enjoyed it. If you want more of this, we will be releasing our very first full-length episode on Wednesday, November 15th. But you know what's really cool is that you can subscribe to our show right now so you get it first thing in the morning. Head over to iTunes or wherever you get your podcast and look up Feminist Frequency Radio. You can also check us out at feministfrequency.com for all of the things that we do. And one of the cool things that we're doing with our podcast is that we're going to be doing a little bit of crowdfunding / membership program, because we really want to build a community around Feminist Frequency Radio. We want you to be involved. So stay in touch with us, stay tuned, and we will announce more about that on Wednesday, November 15th, when our show is going to come out officially. If you want to stay in touch, you can find us on Twitter @FemFreak. You can find Carolyn at
Carolyn Michelle.
Ebony, where are you at?
Ebony Aster.
And you can find me at Anita Sarkeesian. Thank you so much for joining us. Hit that subscribe button, and we will see you soon.
Bye for now.
Bye, kids.